prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, October 14th, 2014. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Oh, what a crazy day in the markets today, but we're still looking at gold above 1230 at 1234. Down 390. Silver was down 10 cents today at 1750, although platinum and palladium were both up today. Platinum was up $5 today at 1271, and we have palladium also up 8 at $795. The USDX today is again getting ready to breach that 86 level, but we're not there yet. 85.84 up 0.68. And they just hammered the heck out of crude oil today. 377. 3.77 at 81.97. Those are just amazing numbers. But let's go ahead and get to the paper markets today. Dow was up triple digits earlier in the day, and they couldn't hold it. They went slightly negative here in this last hour of trade. Down 28 points at 16,293. Amazing that they couldn't keep some of those gains after the light trading yesterday and being down as much as they were yesterday, that they couldn't hold on to just something, you know, positive 10 points or something. Incredible. Dow down 28 points at 16,293. The NASDAQ was up 13 at 42.27, and the S&P was up 3 points at 18.77. And the 10-year yield is down 0.08 at 2.21%. So great numbers if you're looking to buy a house, refinance. So I wouldn't be waiting around much longer, folks, but they're not going to do much anyway with higher rates, or we'll just come up with another quantitative easing 4, 5, 6. We've been saying this for years, and now they'll until the day comes, the day of reckoning, and that is right around the corner, I believe.
Yeah, we'll watch and see. I've been expecting it for a long time, and I'm surprised they've been able to hold this system together as long as they have. It's surprising to me, and I've said it a bunch of times, you've got to give the devil his due. They have held it together and defied reality, in my opinion, for decades. All right? And they've done it successfully, and you got to wonder, are they at the end of their rope, or do they still have more rope?
Well, I think certainly we had the 08 and 010, and they pulled out all the stops. And, I mean, you could have stopped that bleeding, you know, for everything that they did. They stopped the bleeding, and it was surprising that they were able to turn it around.
They didn't exactly.
But however, they didn't turn it around,
They stopped it. They stopped it, but they didn't make it better, per se.
What's different, I think, today, Al, is there's such turmoil going on.
Yeah, I know.
And every time they fixed the markets, they fixed the markets, that was the turmoil. Now you're having these other situations that they can't control to some degree. So yeah, I think that's what makes
perfectly.
The difference.
That's part of the problem.
They can't. Pardon?
No. Well, part of the problem you have, again, this is a little like squeezing a balloon at one end. And they can exert a certain amount of power, and they squeeze the balloon, and they compress it at one end, but it bulges someplace else. And that's the problem the government faces, except they're dealing with this as if they had 50 or 100 balloons, and they try to squeeze one, and it distorts the other 50. Part of the problem, I think, is that the situation is so incredibly complex and intertwined, where if you do one, you squeeze the balloon at one point, you don't know what some other guy is going to do at another balloon that's, balloon number 43. What's he going to do? And if he does something you didn't expect and he squeezes the balloon in a way you didn't anticipate, all of a sudden the problems just become incredibly complex. I don't think anyone is in a position to really control what's happening right now. It may be that they're all trying desperately to do so, but I don't think they can. And we're watching maybe a kind of chaos where people, they attempt to exert control that might work fine with one balloon or even five balloons. But I think you got 50 balloons and they're getting inflated and deflated. And, it's changing so rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
Who is in control? Is there even a little man behind the curtain right now, or are there 50 little men all jumping and shouting and pulling at each other, trying to say, I'm in control.
Well, CNN has an indicator. It's called the Fear and Greed Index, and today it hit zero. And it shows the extreme fear that's in the stock market, because everybody knows it's just held up by the breath. And it's the only other time that the index ever touched that low of a point was in August 2011, and that was right after the S&P had downgraded the U.S. debt. You also have the volatility index, and it is one of the factors that goes into the fear and greed index, and that was spiked up 60% in this past week alone. And of course, people are looking at the S&P 500. That was up around 8% on the year. And after we've seen this wave of sell-off, the S&P is only up about 1.4%. And the Dow is showing even worse numbers. It's now down 1.5% for the year. The S&P also crossed over, what Wall Street calls it, an important barrier, and that was the 200-day moving average, and they hadn't breached this level since 11/08 of 2012. So, all the
everything's
signs,
unstable, and there's one of the articles I saw. I didn't clip it out for today, but you were looking at an article from Yahoo Finance, and the headline is Nightmare on Wall Street. Will the market bloodbath continue? The terms nightmare and bloodbath, are indicative of the kind of anxiety that's beginning to penetrate the paper markets, the equities markets. They're beginning to go, it wasn't that long ago, and everybody thought it was going from 17,000 to 18,000 or 19,000. People were talking about 25,000, couldn't be stopped, and all of a sudden people are saying, maybe not. We are beginning to see that emotional consequence, and I saw another I'm trying to think. I saw another headline, but it escapes me. There was another one that crossed my mind that I looked at, but I can't recall. But the evidence, you know, people are concerned and anxious. And, oh, that was it. The headline was, why is the stock market acting so crazy? Right? Now, that's an interesting headline to me because it implies that the stock market has just recently begun to act crazy. It's become crazy in the last 10 days or 2 weeks. All right, all of a sudden, oh my gosh, why is the stock market crazy? And the answer is the stock market has been crazy for several years. While it was artificially inflated and prices were driven up essentially by the Federal Reserve. Craziness in the market is not new. It's just now being recognized after a couple of years of manipulation. So the point is, no. I guess the point is, the craziness is not new. We are just beginning to catch up on what's been going on for the past several years, and people are beginning to say, uh-oh, we're caught in this crazy environment. So where is it going to end? How soon will people be comfortable again with this? And it's hard to say. They might get comfortable with it in the next week, and the market can start rebuilding from 16,000 back up to 17 or wherever it's going. But maybe not, at the same time. Maybe we're going to get comfortable in the next little while. Or maybe reality is really going to intrude and someone's going to look at it and say, technically speaking, the fundamentals of this market do not support the index, the numbers we see on the indices like the Dow Jones Industrial Average and so on. They are artificially inflated. They're overpriced. And what have we told people? We're told, what's the secret of making money? You buy low and you sell high. I mean, it's almost no other alternative. But I don't doubt there are a couple of other slick ways you might be able to generate a profit. But the fundamental idea is you buy low and you sell high. Well, a lot of people are realizing this is perhaps as high as the equity markets are going to go over the course of the next months and maybe even a year or two. Hard to say. And so far as they believe that, now it's time to sell. Hopefully you bought low, but if this is as high as it's going to be for a while, you can sit on it, hang on to it if you want, or you can take whatever profits you can grab at the moment and move on and look for something more sensible.
Today, Italy and China signed an 8 billion euro deal as their economic ties continue to grow. It includes a Chinese line of credit to Italian energy company Enel. The Chinese premier told a news conference before the signing today that China does not want to run a trade surplus with Italy and they want to import more Italian products, citing the Italian craftsmanship and technology. And I didn't know this. China is Italy's second largest trading partner outside of Europe, with 33 billion euros in trading during the first 6 months of the year. The Italian premier, Matteo Renzi, has been actively seeking the Chinese investment in Italy to help relaunch the economy. Now, China's state bank holds stakes in Italian car maker Fiat, which is now Fiat Chrysler Automobiles, Telecom Italia, and the energy company Eni, among others. Now, yesterday, and it's just interesting, we were talking prior to the program how China is getting into all these markets and companies through the back door. Shares of the combined automakers, Fiat and Chrysler, began trading Monday on the New York Stock Exchange and the Milan Exchange in Italy. And, of course, we know that the combined company known as Fiat Chrysler Automobiles is to be listed as FCA. Excuse me. But this is a big milestone for the company, and when they got ownership, when he was able to get partial ownership of Chrysler, Fiat, the automakers, they were having severe problems. So they were able to take Chrysler, and now Chrysler is sort of helping Fiat The sales, the U.S. auto market has rebounded for Chrysler, and while the European market auto market continues to struggle. So, you know, it's just it's interesting just to see China weave its way into these companies and position themselves as, you know, they do it very well and they do it very quietly.
Well, a couple of things are going on there from my perspective. And that first is we're looking at evidence that suggests that China has decided it will start spending dollars, and it may not be accurate to say start, but it is spending dollars to purchase profit-generating institutions, corporations that can make money. And it may be a fundamental trend we're going to see from China in the future. Point one, they're looking for profit generation, and they're looking to buy cheap. They're going to buy low and later, perhaps in one day, sell high, but they're at least calculating it for the moment that this is that maybe these are good buy. But more than that, these are multinational corporations that they're trying to pick up. At least in the case of Chrysler, Fiat, and so on. They're trying to get their thumb into multinational corporations. There's an argument to be made that the world is increasingly influenced and perhaps even run by multinational corporations. They may exert a disproportional influence and impact on even the governments like the United States. Who's really running things around here? Does anyone know? Is it the Obama and the Senate and the House of Representatives, or is it a conglomerate of multinational corporations that are trying to put together a new world order? Who's in charge? It appears that China is trying to buy in. I mean, this is small evidence. It's not proof again, but it's you know, leaves in the breeze suggest China wants in on the multinational corporations. They can buy enough stock. They get a seat at the board of directors. So,
They're taking advantage of the situation of the severe economies, the poor economies of these countries. First, it was France over there begging for a handout. Hey, let's get together and buy some Airbuses and so forth. Let's get in business together because U.S. isn't cutting it anymore. So we have to go out and fend for ourselves. And China's there. They're they're not in debt. Although they do have their financial problems, their structure is
Solvent. They've got more. Yeah. They're not in debt. They've got money that they can either sit on or they can spend. They have problems in the same sense that all of us have problems. I'm not saying, but some of us have problems and we are insolvent.
Yeah.
And some of us have problems and we have money.
But,
so who has problems?
So now they've done it with Italy, and now we'll just wait for Germany as they continue to cut their growth estimates for this year and next. And, they're citing conflicts and slower global economies, so it probably won't be much longer before Germany begins to make some deals with the Chinese instead of the U.S. So
yeah, I understand.
It just goes. We saw there was a...
It's nature of politics. Yep. They talk about loyalty and friendship, but what it comes down to is, what have you done for me lately?
Yep.
That's what it comes down to. You haven't done anything, you're not going to do anything, buzz off. I got other people, that I can deal with, and that's the way politics works. Let's take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedars from On Financial Survival. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Are you concerned about prescription drug dependency to stay healthy? Are you worried that the cost and availability of your medications may put your health at risk? Perhaps it's time you consider a natural, safe, and effective way to deal with your health problems. If only you knew where to start. Start right here. Tune in to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's the special du jour, Melody?
Well, we do. We have a beautiful quarter ounce gold eagle. That's a gold American eagle. And 20 silver eagles. They are 1 ounce silver. For a total of $785. So you receive 1/4 ounce gold eagle and 20 1 ounce silver eagles. And this includes your shipping costs for $785 at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit the website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com, and make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And remember, folks, coins are better than grams. I don't care what promises they promise you and what benefits you seem you might get. But stay with something that's highly recognizable and acceptable, something that's desirable and very easy to figure out. And that, of course, would be your quarter ounce gold eagle coins and your silver eagles. Today, the numbers, they updated the numbers from the U.S. Mint for the October buys. 2.9 million silver eagles have been sold. That's not even tomorrow's the 15th, so almost 3 million. That would, if it continues, we could beat the record this month of 5.3 million. So we're not that far away. And gold eagles, we're looking at 36,500. And there was 58,000 gold eagles sold last month. And the biggest month prior to that was January. But I never count January numbers because there's always a distortion. You always have a layover from December on those numbers. So people are buying, folks, taking advantage of these low numbers. And, of course, I think after the election, things are going to, the cracks are going to become a little wider.
You know, you're right about the election. Here's an article from the Associated Press. Obama waiting for midterm to name attorney general. And it can't be a surprise on one level, and yet, you know, it's business as usual. But what it comes down to, President Barack Obama does not plan to announce his choice for attorney general before the November elections, shielding the nomination from the rough and tumble of midterm election politics. Now, what Eric Holder is the attorney general. He's going to remain the attorney general. He said he would resign as soon as a new attorney general was nominated, identified and nominated, and apparently accepted by the Senate. But they don't want to tell us who this is going to be. All right? Well, because they're afraid if you knew who he has in mind, you wouldn't like it and you'd vote against the Democrats. So in order to protect the Democrats from responsibility for whoever it is they actually plan to nominate, they're not going to tell you until after the midterm election. Well, it's just another illustration of the idea they don't want to be honest with us right now because the election is less than a month away, and so the people better not know what the truth of the matter is. We'll break it to them. Well, they're going to break it to us a number of different ways, more than likely, after this midterm election. Particularly in the last month of the year. Because right now the Democrats have a 10-senator majority in the Senate. There are 10 more Democrats than there are Republicans. That gives them a certain amount of power that they may not have after the midterm elections. That power will continue through November on into December, and it'll continue until the new Senate takes its seats early January of next year. So we've got, after the election, we've got something like a six-week window of opportunity where whatever villains there may be in the Senate, they got an opportunity between the Senate and perhaps Obama. Maybe they can muscle their way through and manage to cause a couple things to happen that they wouldn't be able to do when the new senators take office, and it may be that the Republicans will even have a majority. They'll pick up some seats. They may pick up enough to have a majority in the Senate. And then after that, Obama's chances of nominating a new attorney general without any trouble and a bunch of other things will be minimal. He will be the official designated, you know, certified lame duck if we get Republican control of the Senate. We already have Republican control of the House. So, any case, I'm just saying, wait until the election. They are waiting for you to vote, and as soon as you get that out of your system, then they're going to show you what they really intend to do with this country. We're going to have an episode where you're going to be able to figure out what the truth is.
Do you think he's going to choose a woman?
I don't know. I don't know. And it's interesting. I mean, given the choices he's had that he's put on the Supreme Court, for example, he's liable to try to give us something spectacular, something just foreign. He may give us a member of, you know, a radical Muslim group, or perhaps La Raza. Put a card-carrying member of La Raza on the Supreme Court in order to pick up some Spanish, some Hispanic votes. I don't know what he's going to do, but at the same time, I don't think the Senate, the Republicans that are in the Senate will do everything they can to probably prevent anyone Obama nominates after the election, immediately after the election, he comes out November 10th, November 15th, says, well, I'm nominating Joe Smith or whatever. All right, fine. I don't think the Republicans will do everything possible to prevent that nomination from going through until the new Senate takes its seat in January. So it means we're going to have Eric Holder is going to remain in the Attorney General's office until we get a new Attorney General that's approved by everybody. And who is that likely to be? And how many people want to run for attorney general right now? You know, a lot of people sit back and say, well, I'd like to be the, I'll be the Attorney General. Mr. Obama, you call on me. Do you have any idea the kind of scrutiny that you're going to go through to get into the office of Attorney General? They're going to find out whether you ever peed your pants back when you were in kindergarten. And it's all going to be broadcast. I mean, everything about your life is going to come up to the up in public. And if there's anything that's controversial or, you know, contrary to public opinion at the moment, it'll all be brought up. And it might not just be you, could be your wife or your spouse. You know, if it's a woman nominated, maybe your husband, hard to say. But you can't assume, I mean, would you want to be Attorney General knowing that you would have to run through the gauntlet? All right? I guarantee you, whoever gets nominated is going to be beat up so bad, they're going to wonder why they ever even got close to politics. They're going to say, I mean, you got to be a dummy to run for Attorney General under these circumstances. It's hard to say. I'm exaggerating to some extent. I won't say you have to be a dummy, but it would help. So it'll be interesting. We'll see what happens. And no.
Today, before we get on to talking about oil, this was out yesterday about the Chinese competing with the U.S. dollar in the African markets. You have a number of African central banks that are applying to the Chinese central bank for currency swaps, with Zimbabwe and Ghana already using the Chinese currency for their reserve currency. Nigeria could also shift more of its foreign reserves into the Chinese yuan from dollars as the currency gains greater traction, as the Chinese currency gains the greater traction in global trade. You had Zimbabwe in March of this year join a list of countries in Africa and the world using the Chinese currency and as one of its official currencies. And after they went through their major hyperinflation, Zimbabwe abandoned their currency in 2009. Basically, when it was rendered worthless by their excessive inflation, and they have been using a basket of currencies that it was dominated by the U.S. dollar. I spoke to someone, I don't know, a year and a half ago, 2 years, from Zimbabwe, and they used nothing but the U.S. dollar. It was the only currency that they were using in that area. And now they're beginning to shy away from the U.S. dollar and again begin to use the the Chinese currency. So it's a small amount of trade between China and Zimbabwe, and it only amounts to $1.1 billion, but that's a lot of money for Zimbabwe, and that was in 2013.
It's also evidence of a Chinese strategy of death by a thousand cuts.
Mm-hmm.
It's not worth China. China is not going to stand up and say, we are going to destroy the dollar. And here's how we're going to do it. They're not going to do that. They're just going to move into some place like Zimbabwe, and they're going to take a piece of the pie. They're not going to destroy the pie. They're not going to drive the dollar out, per se. Right? They will in some instances. They'll cut unilateral deals. But this is not enough for the government to say, Chinese, we got to get them. It won't exactly be that way. They'd say, gee, all we did, we're just trading in our own currency with Zimbabwe. What's wrong with that? And they'll get another country and then another one and another one. And through it out, the United States dollar is going to lose a little here and a little there and a little more until finally somebody says, you know, what do we need this thing for? And its status as a world reserve currency is at least minimized and maybe even terminated. And the reason we invaded Iraq, you know, they said we had weapons of mass destruction. There never were. That wasn't there. That wasn't it. The reason we invaded is because Saddam Hussein started selling his Iraqi crude for euros rather than dollars. We invaded. We went to a war that lasted 8.5 years to try to protect the fiat dollar. We failed in that, right? The dollar from the time Saddam started selling crude in with euros, the dollar fell from 125 down to the neighborhood of 85 today. It lost a third of its value because Saddam started selling. And then other countries started selling their petroleum products for currencies other than the dollar. And the dollar lost its status as petrocurrency. And once that happened, it began to slide as world reserve currency. This doesn't mean the dollar is going to die, but this implies that the value of the dollar will be diminished, which means, which at least should mean, in a free and unmanipulated market, it should mean the price of gold is going up. You know, dollar value is going up, purchasing power of the dollar is going up, price of gold should be, purchasing power of the dollar is going down. If that's the long-term implication here, if it's going down, price of gold should be going up. So, I don't know. It's all, but as I said, the whole thing is confusing. It's like squeezing one balloon and watching 50 others that are going to expand or contract in a way that you can't know or predict.
Well, that's why you stay with the fundamentals, because it makes the fundamentals are the only thing that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree.
And if you follow those, it's reality. The fundamentals are reality. And
the operating presumption is that reality will reassert itself.
Yes.
Sooner or later, the truth will out. They can't sustain the lies without cost. They can't sustain the lies indefinitely. Lies cost money. It's like selling gold at the price of $1,200 an ounce. I think it's crazy. Right? And however they're doing this, however they're manipulating this, there are people in positions of power that are effectively cooperating, and they say, all right, I'll sell my gold for $1,200 an ounce. They're losing their assets. I mean, it's crazy. They're making the sacrifice, but how long can they continue? How long can they continue to find institutions and individuals that are willing to sell their gold for $1,200 an ounce? And I don't think the answer, I don't think they can do it for much longer. I think they're going to run out. And then what? What happens then? They will have transferred their gold to other people who had brains enough to buy it. And our government, we've seen reports where people suspect that the United States Treasury of gold has been exhausted, that the government has secretly leased that gold out or sold it, and they claim to have 8,200 tons, but maybe they don't, and they won't let us see the gold in the vault, and they won't let us perform an audit on the gold in the vaults, so we don't know how much gold is really there. We're just taking their word for it. What if it turns out there is no gold left in the vault, or there's virtually no gold left in the vault? What if it turns out they've been lying to us? What's going to happen to the price of gold then? I mean, it's going to jump. It's going to jump in a spectacular fashion. Now, is it true that the gold is gone? I don't know. But I know a lot of people who think it's gone. They look at things like Germany attempted to regain custody of 300 tons of gold 18 months ago, and the government said, no, can't do it. We'll get it to you in over a period of 7 years. And in the first 12, 18 months, all they've received is 7 tons, so far as I know, out of 300 they expected. That does not indicate that the government is sitting on masses of gold. It indicates, it suggests the government is out. Maybe yes, maybe no, but that's the implication. We're going to take a break for some more commercials. We'll be back and talk a little about crude oil. Please stay tuned. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be right back.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand. Have a plan. Have peace and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. The program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188.
Yes,
Melody, you want to repeat the special du jour?
Yes, I would. We have a 1/4 ounce gold eagle, $10 face value coin, and 20 of the silver eagles. They're 1 ounce, includes shipping costs, $785. That's 1/4 ounce of gold, the American gold eagle, 20 silver eagles. They're 1 ounce, includes shipping for $785. So give us a call. 800-375-4180. That's a nice little package to get started into your purchasing of gold and silver. It's a great little package to add to your portfolio if you don't have any small pieces of gold. Normally, my favorite is the $5 Liberty gold piece. You can exchange, if you'd like, we can adjust this a little bit. You're fairly close to the same price, the 1/4 ounce for the pre-1900 Liberty, $5 Liberty gold piece. So if you'd like to change that for a 1 ounce, if you'd like to trade out the 1/4 ounce gold eagle for the $5 Liberty gold piece, you can do that in this special. It would only cost you about $25 more. So really is either or is a great little package, but give us a call. You must start. 800-375-4188.
We've got a letter here from Bob in Iowa, an email, and he suggested a topic for today's radio program. And in fact, I'd already pulled an article up, a couple of them that I was going to talk about, and I didn't bring this up. And it deals with the almost incredible fall in the price of oil. It's lost about a fifth of its value just the last relatively short period of time. And Bob writes, he says, a statement by Saudi Arabia was made yesterday that they plan on continuing to supply an increased level of oil on the world markets for some time. Now, the price is falling. In a conventional world where supply and demand is a reality, if the price is falling and they are going to increase the supply, not just maintain the supply, Saudis say they're going to increase the level of oil. That means they're going to push the price of crude oil even lower. And we can reasonably wonder, it would be, if I were a Cadillac dealer, what is my interest in pushing the price of Cadillacs lower? I understand that in theory, lower prices, we sell more Cadillacs, but there is a point where the price drops so low that I'm losing money on the sales. And that's what we're kind of looking at right now in terms of crude oil. They're selling crude oil at prices that are not just low, but irrationally low. And we have to ask ourselves, why are they doing this? Is this supply and demand? Is this just business? Is this just the oil business? Or is the price of oil being intentionally spiked in order to cause a considerable amount of harm to Russia, right, whose economy depends to a substantial degree on exporting natural gas, petroleum products, crude oil to Europe and or China? Russia's being squeezed by this. So in any case, according to Bob in Iowa, he said the Saudis justified this higher level of production as needed to maintain market share. You know, again, what do I care about market share if I'm losing money? I don't want a 90% share of a market if I'm losing money on all of that business. That doesn't make good sense to me. The immediate effects of this continue to apply downward pressure on the world oil price levels done during periods of decreasing world economic growth. During will add downward pressure on crude oil. In other words, the demand is falling on crude oil because the economy of the world is slowing. Less demand. At the same time, Saudi's saying they're going to maintain, not just maintain the supply, they're going to increase the supply. This is a lightly veiled economic squeeze on Russia, Iran, and Venezuela. To break even, Russia needs about $104 per barrel of oil, and it's selling now down close to 80. They're losing $24 a barrel. You know, you can't run a business on that basis. You understand? You can't be selling your oil for $24 less than you need to break even. You just can't do it. Iran needs about $95 a barrel. Any reduction in price adds to Venezuela's basket case economy. Bob wonders, he suggests that we should take advantage of this with low prices for gasoline, and he says we may have a few months of relief before this thing straightens out, but he's anticipating that circumstances are going to change. We'll watch and see. Here's another article on the same idea, on the same topic from Agency France Press. Brent oil hits new four-year low as International Energy Agency cuts forecasts. Crude oil is at a four-year low right now. Brent North Sea oil hit another four-year low on Tuesday after the International Energy Agency cut its oil demand growth forecasts, blaming weak economic outlook, that is weak demand, amid ample supplies. They're saying this is pure supply and demand. And they are implying that there's no governmental manipulation involved that's intended to damage the economies of Russia, Iran, or Venezuela. What do you think the chances are of that of being true? I mean, why would Saudi Arabia insist on selling its oil at low prices, and perhaps at prices that are a loss for Saudi Arabia, certainly low prices, I don't know if they're a loss for Saudi Arabia. What is their motive here? And my guess is they're actually working in complicity with the United States to exploit Russia, Venezuela, Iran. Brent C crude oil for delivery in November dived to $86.17 a barrel in the afternoon deals, touching the lowest level since December 2010. It's lower than that now. U.S. benchmark West Texas Intermediate crude for November lost $1.20 to $84.54. That's yesterday's news. Both oil contracts are down about a fifth from their 2014 highs touched in June, July, August, September, October. In less than 4 months, oil has lost 20% or thereabouts of its price. The market had already hit multi-year lows in earlier Asian trade, with analysts citing concerns about the supply glut and the effects on weaker demand from Europe and China. If there's weaker demand from Europe and China, that's bad for Russian sales to Europe. It's bad for Russian future sales to China. Russia appears to be the big loser on this falling oil price. One of the agencies, Energy Research Group, Douglas Westward, they looked at this and they said, they're watching an upcoming OPEC oil production meeting for November 22nd. They're asking, will the group act in a disciplined manner and restrict output to support the benchmark price? Or will the members be driven purely by the desire to deliver as much volume to the market as possible? It added that early signs are not good after Saudi Arabia this month announced a large price cut, sparking fears of a price war among producers. You know, what's interesting about this to me, well, first, the implication is that the price of crude oil is going to fall further. We haven't seen it. We might get to 80. We could easily get to $80 per barrel this week. That's not a strain. It could happen tomorrow. Could happen this week unless something reverses. Then the next question, could we see $65 barrels of crude oil before the end of this year? How low crude oil can go is anyone's guess at this point, but cheap oil, all right, cheap crude oil leads to cheap energy, which leads to lower production and transportation costs for businesses. And that leads to higher profits. And in theory, those higher profits lead to economic stimulation. The economy should do better with cheap oil. Now, that's interesting to me because just about the same time as the Federal Reserve is ending most of its quantitative easing and economic stimulation, the global price of crude oil is falling, and that fall is conducive to economic stimulation. Does that strike anyone as an interesting coincidence besides me? I mean, is that all it is, Melody? Is this a coincidence or is this a backdoor attempt to stimulate the economy without having the Federal Reserve get any deeper with printing more dollars or whatever with the interest rate?
I don't believe in coincidences. Not to this degree, not to where it could have such an impact.
It's just interesting. This is one of those things. We don't know what the truth of the matter is, but it's, again, this is the idea of squeezing a balloon in one place and watching it bulge somewhere else, and especially when you've got 50 interconnected balloons and God only knows where it's going to bulge, but here they are. It is interesting. You know, they're not, I think, quantitative easing in terms of buying bonds and whatever ends this month. And then, but at the same time, it looks like crude oil and energy costs are going to be dramatic, maybe significantly reduced.
Well, we have to see how long it stays at these levels.
I agree.
And I think, we don't know what's happening. And it's just not hurting Russia. I mean, even our ability to produce our production with the lower numbers hurts. We're not going to be able to produce as much as we have. It's going to hurt the fracking.
That's one of the major reasons for the problem. They talk about the world. There is a glut of crude oil right now, and much of it is attributed to the fracking in this country and the increased production in this country.
So are the Saudis rich enough to say, you know what, we'll just see how low we can go in the oil prices and see how we can cut your production?
I'm going to be surprised if the Saudis are competing with the United States. I'd guess, and that's all it is a guess, I'd guess that if there is manipulation, not just supply and demand, but governmental manipulation, the price of crude oil, if that's taking place, I would guess that the Saudis are acting they are complicit with the United States. They're acting in concert and conspiracy, whatever, to make this happen.
That's probably what they want the United States to think, that, oh, yeah, we'll go along with you. And in the meantime, they also know the double-edged sword is that it's also hurting our production. So, you know, the loyalty to any of these countries anymore, I mean, they're going to do what needs to be done to protect and to further their agenda. You know, whether it be yes, they have a certain degree, but, you know, the Saudis and the U.S., they've certainly had their little bit of tiffs of late. And
we've seen that, which makes you wonder, what could the United States, if there is a conspiracy.
Well, the United States is too stupid to realize what the Saudis could be doing.
No, I don't think so, because no, the Saudis won't do this. They're not going to take the loss without getting something from the United States to compensate. They're not doing us a favor. We're doing something for them, and to compensate them for whatever loss they might be absorbing by selling the oil at cheap prices. So we can wonder, what are we giving them right now?
Well, if the Saudis can get a barrel of oil out of the ground for $25 to $30 a barrel, they got a long way to go before they're hurting.
Well, I understand. They're making profits regardless. Well, that's true. And it could be that the Saudis are just cooperating to knock some of their competitors out of the markets. That's all. By the time they're done, Russia's going to have a hard time competing. Iran's going to have a hard time competing. And
it's a lost leader.
Yeah, maybe so.
You know, they don't mind taking a little bit. They got more money than most countries. So,
all right. Well, we're down to what, 2 minutes or thereabouts, Melody? Anything you would like to add?
Well, with this record low oil, you do see Russia's ruble. They're hitting. That's hitting a new record low.
Yep.
And
right, more evidence that Russia is the principal target. At least the principal casualty of the low price of crude oil, whether it's the target or just a collateral damage remains to be seen. But we can wonder: is crude oil being driven this low simply because of supply and demand, which is no doubt present? That's part of the explanation. But is it also being pushed down in order to sanction Russia for being involved in Ukraine? What do you think the truth of the matter is, Melody? And how are we ever going to find out?
Well, we'll know. We'll know here in the very near future. But what surprises me is that the impact on a gasoline prices from Iowa today, I was told that their gasoline was $2.85. Here in central Pennsylvania, it's still 3.25. Big discrepancies across this country for gasoline prices, and with gasoline falling as it has, we should all be paying $2.50 or less.
Well, probably so, but that's the opinion of someone who is consuming gasoline rather than someone who's selling gasoline. People that are selling it are probably sitting back $2.50 a gallon. That's crazy talk. Should be paying $4.50 a gallon. That's their position on this, and we'll see who triumphs in the next weeks, months, whatever. We're out of time. We want to thank all of you for listening. As always, I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
Bye. I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? Still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dream, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball. In a rich man's world.